the section of Abraham, by faith Abraham. Now, I have divided into two sections. I have the telescope, that is, looking at it afar off, and there are only three verses to that, Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. And then we're going to look at the microscope in Genesis 22, where all these events happen. So, first of all, let me read all the scripture, and then we'll look at those passages. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And then in Genesis 22, 1-13, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said to the young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him at the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it on the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' or Jehovah Jireh, as it is said today, 'In the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided.'" The telescope and the microscope, I guess if we were doing Jonah, it would be the periscope. We're here in the faith chapter. All the things that faith has worked among God's people. And this is, as I indicated, one of the toughest places that you find yourself in. And we're going to see how this unfolds and how Abraham actually passed his test. The test came from God, according to verse 2, 1 and 2. He says the time of it is after these things. Now, after what things, you might ask? Well, he left home. God said, go out of your home. He went out of his home. Get away from your family, in Genesis 12. He did that. And then he even had already separated from Lot, the final one of his family that was with him, Genesis 19. And then he received the promise, because he did all that, he received the promise, the land, the nation, and the blessing, as you remember. He had finally received an heir. Remember that whole struggle. Lord, let Eliezer be my heir. Well, no, he's not going to be the one. Well, how about Ishmael? He's half mine. No, that's not it either. And finally, the son comes. Sarah gives birth to Isaac. Later on, God says to him, send Ishmael away. Well, Ishmael, he had love for Ishmael. That was his son. No, send him away. And he sent him away. Hagar and Ishmael had to leave because he's teasing Isaac, and Sarah said, we'll not have that. So all that is what, these are these things. These things that Abraham went through, he obeyed God in everything God asked of him. But then God comes to him and says, sacrifice your son. Now remember, this is not a temptation. This is a test. God does not tempt with evil. He doesn't do evil, and he doesn't tempt his people with evil. So this is not a temptation, but a test. Take your son, your only son. Almost like he's rubbing it in. Take your son, your only son, the only son you have, and sacrifice him. So he does that. In Hebrews 11:17, he says, he took his only begotten son. Now, we've talked about this in reference to Christ. Remember, he's called the only begotten. God gave his only begotten son. Well, what does that mean? Oh, it means that the son was born. No, doesn't mean that at all. What it means is, it's from the word monogenes. Mono means one. Genes means kind, only one of a kind. He's a unique son. He's a son, but different from the other sons that he had. Well, is that true of God? Does God have many sons? Sure. God has many sons. The angels are called the sons of God in Job. You are a son of God, even if you're a woman. You're a son of God, a child of God. But more than that, there's more than being just a child. Being a son is one who is in obedience to God. So God has many sons. And yet, he offered his unique son, the son of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abraham also had many other sons. Remember, we just mentioned Ishmael. So he had at least two. But then we find out, a little later on in Genesis 25, that Abraham got married again, Keturah, and he had five other sons. So it's true. Father Abraham had many sons. And I'm one, and so are you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what he's saying is, take your only son, your unique son, the only one between you and Sarah, and you offer him. And to say a son would be enough. Take a son, one of your sons, just pick one. That would be tough. Remember Sophie's Choice? Remember that movie? Sophie's Choice. She had to choose between her two sons. Choose one or the other. If you don't choose one, both will die. Well, she chose one, and that was a big choice. Well, if God had said that, okay, now you have two sons, choose one. You sacrifice him. But he didn't say that. This one's a son of the covenant. The seed starts with him. 20, 25 years ago, Isaac was born, and it was a big miracle then. I'm sure God could have done it again after Abraham is way up there, 125 years old. It was a strain when it did happen. So it's hard to think, well, he's going to do it again? And maybe Abraham idolized his son. That could happen. One son, special son. I bet he was the darling of the whole group. Everybody loved Isaac. It was a special thing. Corrie ten Boom said, hold loosely these things because it hurts when God has to pry your fingers away. Whatever you idolize, be careful. Because God may say, sacrifice that. And then he said it's a burnt offering. Burnt offering, different from all the others, a burnt offering is completely consumed. Burned all the way up. Now I know if you stick a dagger in his heart, he's dead, but to burn him all the way up, no, that's not good. But that's the kind of offering it was, burnt offering. You might say, well, let me go get a good animal. I've got some good animals back here. Let me bring one of the animals. No, no. Because he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. You must obey. None of your other things will do. And then he said, you must do the offering. You know, it would be one thing if God said, a big animal is going to come up out of the wood and going to tear him apart. Well, that's one thing. God causing that to happen. But no, you're going to do it. Not someone else. I'm not going to get somebody else to do it. I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. So God told him what to do. He didn't give any explanation. This is a tough one. No explanation. Well, why should I have to do this? But, you know, God didn't give any explanation, and Abraham didn't ask for any. Abraham didn't say, tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me why. Do you ever do that? Oh, why is God sending this to me? No. You don't have the right to ask why. God says, do this. Live this way. I've sent that into your life. Nothing can get into your life that God doesn't send. So why are we asking God why? No explanation. Just obey. Do you know why Abraham obeyed? That was the habit of his life. Every time God said, do something, he did it. Do this. Okay, fine. Okay, I'll do it. Leave my family. Do all that. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he did it time and time and time again. It becomes a habit after a while. And that's a good habit to have. Okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. So that's the test that God gave him. Now, the trip. They take a trip to Moriah, verses 3 and 4. He got an early start. It seems like the vision was the night at night, and then the very next day, Abraham's up early getting ready to go. No waiting. Well, I think I'll wait a couple of weeks. No, I'll go right now. God said do it. I'm going to do it. So he is ready to go, getting up on his way. Beersheba is about 50 miles south of Jerusalem. So he traveled north, a 3 days journey. And I think he walked. He has one donkey. I don't see anything. It says he's saddled enough, but I think what he means is just he had to put the wood on the donkey, and they walked. They walked 50 miles to do what God wanted done. And he prepared for the sacrifice. He carried the wood. He carried the coals. It doesn't say that, but you have to have some kind of coals to take with you in order to start a fire. I think he had to carry the coals along with him and a knife in order to make the sacrifice. So they arrived there. 3 days later, he says, to the mountain I will show you, and that mountain turns out to be Moriah. So we have the test and the trip. And then in verses 5 to 10, we see the trust of Abraham. He left the young men and the donkey, verse 5a says, let me read 5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. What? We will come back to you. So he's leaving the young men there with the donkey. I think maybe because the young men might have a few problems with what he's doing. Leave them there. They might object and interfere. And he says he expected to return. We're going to go up there and we're going to worship, and then we are going to return. He's expecting Isaac to come back some way. Well, Hebrews 11:19 interprets it this way, and remember the Holy Spirit is speaking here. He concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So Abraham's saying, fine, I know I've got to have Isaac. I've got to have the seed. I'll offer him, but I think you're going to raise him up. That's apparently what he had in mind. So Abraham and Isaac, they go on alone. There's a question here that Isaac raises in verse 7. We're in Genesis, of course. Isaac says, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? We're going to have a sacrifice and no lamb. What, are you going to catch one, you know? Not likely. And it's a good time for Abraham to say, you are the lamb. No, didn't say that. Just said, his answer was very good. My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. I like what I've heard some people say. In the King James, you have the King James Version, you'll see, God will provide himself a lamb. And I've heard it preached. God's going to provide himself a lamb. And that's what he did, himself. He came down, he died, and God provided himself a lamb. Well, I'm sorry, the grammar can't handle that one. But God will provide for himself. That's a good rendering of it. But he provided for himself the lamb. And that's the answer. That's all the answer he got. That satisfied him, apparently. So Abraham prepared the sacrifice, verses 9 and 10. He built an altar, maybe of stones that he had there, or maybe out of dirt, whatever it was. He had an altar on which he could lay the sacrifice. He placed the wood in there. He'd done this before. You know, he'd offered sacrifices to God. That was what the patriarch was supposed to do. He was the head of the family. He offered sacrifice for his families. So he placed the wood the way he's supposed to. And then, at this point, he finally had to tell Isaac. Had to break the news. Well, let me tell you, son. God is going to prepare a lamb, and you are the lamb. Now, I don't think that Isaac was a child. I've heard some say he was 16. Dr. Unger's Bible Dictionary, said he was 16. Probably not that young. Josephus says he was 25. that's probably close. Well, I heard one teacher on the TV saying he was 37. Don't think that. That's stretching a little bit. I think maybe more like 25. Whatever it is, he could out-wrestle a 125-year-old man, you think? Or at least outrun him. No question there. So he has to be willing to do this. He is willing to let his father lay him on there so he can do it. You know why? He trusted his father. Father said, do it, I'll do it. He trusted the God of his father because he had seen how the God of his father worked in his life. So he bound him on the altar. I wonder why binding him. Okay, you bind him on there. If he changes his mind, too late. But no indication that he did. So we had the test and the trip and the trust. Now the turn of events. Find this in verses 11 through 13. Abraham took the knife to kill Isaac. Now, you know this. I'm going through it so we have all the facts before us when we get to the conclusion. But Abraham was ready to kill him. And he expected Isaac to die. And that's all he saw. And I think Isaac expected Isaac to die. No question about it. This was it. And then at that precise moment, the angel of the Lord stopped him. The angel spoke from heaven and said, don't lay your hand on the lad. Now it says lad. Again, that word lad is expandable. He says, no, stop. Don't do it. Because you passed the test. You come to the place, you've done what you're supposed to do. You would have done it, I know that, and now I know that you trust me. So Abraham was willing to obey God, and that proved it. So God provided a substitute. The ram was caught in the thicket by the horns. Couldn't get away, so Abraham turned, there he was. And so he got the lamb, brought him out, and God had provided the substitute. Put the lamb on as a burnt offering, and that was it. It's over. Now, in verse 14, I like this about Abraham. Verse 14 said, Abraham called the place, the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And in some versions you see the Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. We sing about Jehovah Jireh and all that. And it's good. The Lord does provide, and we need to see that just like Abraham did. The Lord will provide. And then he says, in the time Genesis was written, because it says, as it is said this day, that means when the writer was writing it down, writing Genesis down, if that was Moses, probably, 500 years later. So he says, it's said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Isn't it interesting that it's in the mount of the Lord and it shall be provided? I wonder if that is specifically talking about in that mountain. In that same mountain, Moriah, where Jerusalem was going to be planted later, Abraham, our God, was going to provide his lamb. In the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Well, that's the story. That's what happened. The writer of the Hebrews is claiming this is Abraham's finest hour when he obeyed God. Now, I want to suggest some conclusions here. Not all original. But you do so much study, and then you know where it all comes from. But here it is. Lessons about true worship from Abraham's test. Faith obeys completely the word of God. You can't take Isaac off the altar when you put him on there. You can't say, oh, I quit. I did what you said, and now I quit. You can't do that. Remember in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you to present yourself a living sacrifice, not dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice now. You present yourself. And presenting is an action that you do right here and now. Say, if you haven't done it, you do it. You say, you present yourself. Okay, Lord, I'm yours. I'm giving you everything that I have. When you do that, you can't take it back. No, it's a completed action. It's an action that you do. You can't take it back. If you do, then you haven't done it at all. Then, faith surrenders the best to God, holding nothing back. You don't say, well, I'll give this thing. I heard a story, I don't know if it's true or not, about a couple that bought a new refrigerator. So, oh, we'll give this old one to the church. And together they decided, no, no, we can't do that. We'll keep the old one and we'll give the new one to the church. It has a little ring to it, I think. I don't suggest you have to do that, but I'm just saying that does have a good ring, doesn't it? Give the best to the Lord. Don't hold anything back. And then third, faith waits on the Lord to provide all of one's needs. Waits on the Lord to provide it all. Whatever you have, whatever need you have, faith says, God, I'm waiting for you. You do it your way, and I'll keep on doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Right? Now, faith waits on the Lord. But God does not provide until personal sacrifice is made. He doesn't provide until you are ready. See, we don't say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want if you'll tell me what it is ahead of time. You tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll do it. And I'll let you know what I want to do it. No, no. You say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and then he tells you what it is. No. Well, God doesn't provide it ahead of time. And worship is costly. Sometimes to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord, costs. And it may cost when we hold out that little booklet, the Gospel of John. Somebody may laugh at you. All kinds of things. But the Lord said, give it out. And so you give it out. It may be costly. And that's a very small cost, of course. This was always so for Israel. Whenever Israel laid their sacrifices, it had to be the very best. Don't bring any maimed things. Don't bring any sick animals. You bring the very best and let God have it. So these offerings were supposed to be given to God. Then he would provide all the needs of each worshiper. So we learn about how to worship from this passage. We also learn something about the message of salvation. The message of salvation in connection with Abraham's offering. Let me suggest a few, as again, these I think mostly are from Arlen Chipwood. Here it is. The place where Isaac was offered was in the region of Jerusalem. That's where Jerusalem was later built. So he went to Moriah, and Moriah was on the mount where Jerusalem is now. Abraham offered his only son on Moriah. God offered his only son on Moriah, the same thing. Then Abraham's ram died in the place of Isaac. God's lamb died in the place of you. Abraham and his son were alone on Moriah, and God brought darkness from noon to 3 p.m. so that he and his son could be alone on Moriah in Jerusalem. Isaac offered no resistance. There's no indication that he argued, that he struggled. No resistance at all. And God's son didn't offer any resistance either. He could have. He could have called 10,000 angels. But no, he did not resist. 6. Isaac was unable to help himself. It was either the ram or physical death. Mankind is unable to help himself. It's either Jesus or eternal death. The ram was offered as a gift. It was useless to Isaac unless it was accepted. If Isaac had said, no, don't do that. I don't want that ram in my place, it would have happened. And the same is true of the Lamb of God. The lamb that God offered is useless to you unless you accept him. What must I do to be saved? Simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved.